And to thank you all for being here this morning. We're still on the month of April and our theme being the way of discipleship. I've titled my message this morning, Satan has asked to sift you all. So you say you are a child of God, you say you are a disciple, you say you are a Christian. Satan has got his eyes on you, and he's asked to sift you all. Just know that you are Satan's number one target. For the mere fact that you declare Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Satan has asked to sift you all. I'm taking my scripture reading from the book of Luke 22, 31 to 32, but I'm going to read from 21, which reads as follows. But here at this table, so I want you to picture this scene. Jesus Christ is sitting with his disciples. This is his last supper, his last farewell word with them, and he's bidding them farewell. All 12 of them are sitting at the table and they are having the last supper. And whilst he's talking to all of them, from 21, he said, but here at this table, sitting amongst us is a friend. Is a man who will betray me. For it has been determined that the Son of Man must die. But what sorrow awaits the one who betrays him? The disciple began to ask each other, which of them would do such a thing? Then they began arguing among themselves about who would be the greatest among them. Jesus told them, in this world, the kings and the men lord over their people, yet they are called friends of people. But among you, it will be different. Those who are greater among you should take the lower rank, and the leader should be like a servant. Who is more important than the one who sits at the table and the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. For I am among you as one who serve. You have stayed with me in my time of trials. And you, just as my father have granted me a kingdom, I now grant you the right to eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes. But then Jesus turned his face, and now he's speaking to Simon Peter. And he says to Peter, Simon, Simon, in verse 31, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat, all of you. But I've pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brother. But I've prayed for you, Simon. Satan will sift all of you. Child of God, all of us are going to be sifted. We're just going to be sifted differently. But he says, but I've prayed for you. He says to Simon, I've prayed for you. He didn't say, I've prayed for you not to be sifted. He did not say, I've prayed for you not to be tested. He did not say, I've prayed for you not to go through trials and tribulations. Child of God, you will go through things. You'll go through trials and tribulation. Why? Because you are his. He says, but I've prayed for you. He doesn't say not to fail. No, because he knows we're going to fail him. He doesn't say, I've prayed not to be tested. No, I've prayed that you don't lose your faith. So whenever you want to pray for me, don't pray for me to get married. Pray for me not to lose my faith. I've prayed for you. So this is the intimate gathering. And Jesus predicts his betrayal by Judas Iscariot and informs disciples that one of them will betray them. He says in verse 21 to 23, but here at this table, sitting amongst us as a friend, is the man who will betray me. For it has been determined that the Son of Man must die. But what sorrow awaits the one who betrays him? The disciples began, as much as he made this powerful statement, the disciples started now arguing about leadership and who's going to take his position. You see, church, Jesus knew exactly who was going to betray him. But he did not want to embarrass Judas in front of the disciples. Like now, he knows that some of us here are busy betraying him. That some of us here are living immoral lives. That some of us here are taking bribes and brown envelope. That some of us are sleeping around week in, week out. But he will not label us. Because when we come here on Sunday, we all look holy. And during this conversation, Jesus turns his attention to Simon Peter. And he addresses him and he says, Simon, Simon. And he calls him by his first name, which indicates the seriousness of this matter and the affection which he had. In this passage, Jesus is warning Peter about the imminent trial that he and the other disciples will face. The phrase, to sift all of you like wheat, signifies a testing or a temptation, church, that we will all undergo, likely from the influence of Satan. Jesus acknowledges Satan, that Satan has requested permission. So you see, child of God, you and I, because we are his, Satan cannot just come and touch us. He has to seek permission. Because we learn that there's a wall of protection around all of us. So for Satan to sift us, he has to go to Jesus and seek permission. So I'm not sure this morning that there is a conversation in heaven. Who else has been conversed about? Maybe they're talking about you, that you are just about to be sifted. And Jesus Christ is giving them permission. So as Christians, there's no need that when we are afflicted, when we are tested, when we are sifted, that we cry like we don't know. He's prayed for us. Jesus tells Peter that Satan has requested permission to sift him like wheat. And sifting is a process of separating the true believers from those who are false or who are going to fall away. You see, COVID was one of the sifting where we were able to see the true Christians, because after they were sifted, after they were afflicted, after they've lost their loved ones, some of them never laid their foot to church. Satan has got no permission to just touch you, Jay. And we see this pattern in Job 1, 6 to 12, and it reads as follows. When Satan seek permission from God to afflict Job, we see in Job 1, 6 to 12, which reads, one day the members of the near heavenly court came to the presence themselves before the Lord, and the accuser Satan came to them. Where have you come from? The Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord, I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. The Lord asked Satan, have you noticed my servant Miriam? Have you noticed my servant Meldon? Have you noticed my servant Janine? Have you noticed my servant Job? Have you noticed him? He is a fine man in all earth. He's blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stay away from evil. Satan replied to the Lord, yes, I've seen them. I've seen them, all of them, I've seen them. But Job has a good reason to fear you, God. You have always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. You have made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is. But reach out and take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. All right, you may test him, the Lord said to Satan. Do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically. So Satan left the presence of God. Hence, Peter is warning all of us in 1 Peter 5:8 that be sober, child of God. Be watchful. Your adversary, Satan, the devil, prowls around as a roaring lion seeking somebody to devour. Be watchful all the time. The devil, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, your hater, is always roaming around. So be sober. Be mindful. Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Don't be fooled. We are all in this together as disciples, and we are all Satan's number one enemy. He's always looking for ways to test and afflict us, and no one is immune or exempt from the testing. He started with Judas in verse 3 and 4. The Bible saying, then Satan entered into Judas. Satan entered. It's not like Judas went to the high priest and say, no, I want, no. Satan entered. Satan sneaks in when you are unaware. He enters with you being unaware, thinking that you are a Christian and thinking you've got this and thinking that you are running your race. He will enter and sneak in whilst you are sleeping at night, whilst you are ignorant, whilst you are having fun. Sneaks in. Hence, it is important, child of God, not to laugh at your brother's affliction. You don't laugh at your sister's pain, because your time of testing is coming. It might not be today, it might not be next week, but your time of affliction is coming. Jesus said, Satan has asked to sift all of you like wheat. All of you. And we see in Mark 14, verse 50, Pastor Malden, which confirms that all disciples, all of them, deserted and abandoned Jesus Christ. They all ran away. So you think you're a disciple? You think you're strong enough? They walked with him daily. They saw him performing miracles. But the 11th hour, at crunch time, they deserted him. They all ran away. We're all going to be sifted, child of God. He said, but Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail you. I've prayed for you. Let me give you a profile of Peter. Who's this Peter? You ask, who's this Peter? I'm glad you ask. Peter is also known as Simon. Peter was one of the 12 apostles chosen by Jesus Christ. He was originally a fisherman by trade and became one of Jesus' closest disciples and trusted companion. He was his close buddies. They were tight like this. Peter was one of these closest buddies. He was depicted as being in Jesus' inner circle and sharing a special relationship with him. Peter was present in several significant events in Jesus' life, such as raising of Jairus' daughter in Mark 5:37, which reads, then Jesus stopped the crowd and would not let anyone go with him except Peter, James, and John. Peter was among the few disciples who accompanied Jesus on special occasions, such as Mount of Olives. In Mark 13:3 and 4, it reads, later Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives across the valley of the temple. Peter, James, and John and Andrew came to him privately and asked him, tell us, when will all this happen? Peter had a passionate and impulsive nature. He was known for his zealousness and eagerness to follow Jesus and physically defend Christ. Peter is a disciple who took out the sword in the Garden of Gethsemane. when Jesus had gone with his disciples to pray before his arrest, when a group of soldiers and officials came along with Judas Iscariot, Peter impulsively drew out his sword and attacked one of the high priest's servants, cutting his ears. We read in John 18, 10, 11, then Simon Peter, who had the sword, drew out and stuck the high priest's servant and cutting him his right ear. And Jesus said, Peter, man. Peter was present during Peter's transfiguration, during Jesus' transfiguration on the mountain. In Mark 9, 2-8, he witnessed Jesus' appearance change and seeing him conversing with Elijah and Moses. Overwhelmed by experience, Peter suggested to build three shelters of Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Peter is the one we see in Mark 16, 13 to 20. When Jesus asked, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Peter responded, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter is the one who had revelation. Peter is the one who was trusted. Peter is the one who was loyal. Peter is the one who loved Jesus so much. Peter is the one who knew deep down in his heart that he will never betray Jesus Christ. Peter is that one. Peter demonstrated his remarkable faith when he sees Jesus walking on water during the storm in Mark 14, 24. He is the one who said, Jesus, I see you walking. Bid me to come. And when Jesus said, come, Peter is the one who walked on water. Bazalwane. Peter is the one who had so much faith, who loved Jesus, who trusted in him so much that if Jesus Christ himself can walk on water, I can somehow walk on water. Peter is the one who has a big church. Peter is the one when he preaches, people fall. When he prays, people fall. Peter is the one who we all admire and look up to. Peter is the one whom we all envy. And we wish we could be like him. Jesus displayed a particular fondness towards Peter, for he gave him a nickname. Peter originally means Simon, which means rock in Matthew 16, 18. Jesus expresses his confidence in Peter's faith, entrusting him with leadership responsibility in John 21, 15 to 19. Peter is the one that when he walks past you, you get your healing completely. Peter is the one. Mamela, child of God. Peter is the one. Now, Jesus says to him, Peter, Simon, Mamela, Simon. The devil has asked to sift all of you like wheat. But I've prayed for you, Peter. That when you repent and come back, you'll strengthen a brother. Peter says, what do you mean, Jesus? Jesus says, they're coming. My time has come. And Peter, you, Peter, are going to deny me. Peter says to Jesus, me, deny you? Never. I mean, answer me, no, not me. Jesus, Mina, I love you, my overs. Love you full time. Jesus said, hey, Mamela, you are going to deny me. Peter says, me. Never, man. Bangak betray abonke. Everyone else can betray you, not me. I want to imagine that Peter never thought that he could betray Jesus Christ. Peter was so confident that he's got this thing. And hence Jesus said, well, we'll see. When Jesus knows that he was going to be afflicted. But I like what he said. He says, it's okay, Peter, but I've prayed for you. That when you come back, after you've repented, you will strengthen. I've prayed for you. And we see Jesus praying in John 17. Jesus prayed for himself in John 17. He prayed for his disciples and he prayed for all Christians. In verse 9 to 19 in John 17, he says, to his father, my prayer is not for the world, but for those you've given me, because they belong to you. All who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me, so they bring me joy and glory. Now I'm departing from the world. They are staying in this world, but I'm coming to you. Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name, so that they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I protected them by the power of my name that you gave me. I've guarded them so that no one was lost except the one headed for destruction, obviously. Now I'm coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so they would be filled with joy. I've given them your word. The world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you, Lord, to take them out of the world. No, but keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to the world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you send me into the world, I'm sending them into the world. And I give myself as holy sacrifice for them, so they may be made whole by your truth. Child of God, as much as Jesus prayed for the disciples, he also prayed for you. We see in verse 20 and 21, he says, I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through this message. I pray that they will be one, just as I am one with you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe. Jesus assures Peter that despite the trials, he will overcome and be restored. Jesus also encourages Peter to use his experience to strengthen a brother. Child of God, Simon Peter and other Christians faces tests and trials in various seasons and reasons. These tests serve multiple purposes in our lives. You ask me, why are we tested? Test can refine and purify a believer's faith, character, and commitment to Jesus. Apostle James 1:2-4, he says, but consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. When you are tested, it produces perseverance and maturity. Through testing believers, we can persevere and grow and get a deeper reliance into God. I heard somebody saying, no tribulations, no test, no elevation. We are all tested. So Pastor Janine, when you saw me being sifted, when you see me being tested, pray for my faith. Don't discard me. We have churches these days that when one of us falls into sin, when one of us is tested, churches, they cast them away. In the 21st century churches, when one of us is tried and tested and he's down and out, our 21st centuries, we started posting them on social medias. Have you heard? Mamela, I might fall. I hope that my church will not cast me out, Pastor Janine. That when I'm tested, because I am going to be tested, I pray, Pastor Maldon, that someday you won't tell me, no, you are not supposed to come to church, because we've heard about you. Jesus prayed for all of us, that all of us are going to be tested. Ask yourself as a child of God, how many of your family members have you discarded because they've fallen into sin? How many of your brothers have you lost contact with? You stopped praying for them because you became Jesus Junior and started judging them. Tests provide an opportunity for believers to trust and rely on God's strength, guidance, and provision. We see in 2 Corinthians 1:19, indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. Now, this is Paul. He's relating his story and experience. He said, we felt we had received the sentence of death, But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. So when we are tested, it's so that we can trust and rely on God. Test can affirm and strengthen the believer's faith. When believers experience God's faithfulness and provisions amidst challenges, their faith is deepened. 1 Peter 1:6 to 7 states, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have suffered grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that it be proven genuinely of your faith, of greater worth than gold." So when you are tested, it's a purification phase, the testing phase, because you should receive a crown, but that crown of gold needs to be purified. Test equips believers for their calling and their service. Our tests equip us so that I can come and strengthen another single mom. So when you see me single, I don't know whether I like this or I feel uncomfortable when Christians see me and they see a single woman who wants to get married. Christians, some of us, marriage is not in our priority list. There are bigger things in store for us before that. So pray for me that I may not lose my faith. Tests provide an opportunity for God's power and faithfulness to be displayed and glorified. When I'm tested and I'm a single mom and I've raised two girls with God by my side, it is for me to come and testify and say to another single mom, it is possible that God is your husband, that is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever imagine. Pastor Janine, I've been through trials, and you all know. Bongi, whilst she was young, she went for a tooth operation, and some of her tooth were extracted by mistake, and now her jaws were distorted. Now they need to be aligned, and this doctor said there's nothing that can fix this except braces, and we're like, okay. Phone my medical aid, Pastor G. Medical aid said, no, that's cosmetic. We don't cover that. And I'm like, okay. So how much? We started looking for quotations. Now we are phoning around. Some say it's 50,000, 80,000, 30,000, 40,000. And I'm thinking, my God, with my salary, where would I get that? But I know that Isaiah 54 reminds me that he is a husband. He's a father. He sticks closer. He's my helper. We started praying about this. I can tell you so many testimonies about him being the provider and being the father. And I'm encouraging somebody who's single mom and you are raising your children and you think that, yeah, you cannot do this. You can. Trust in God. Trust in him until your Boaz came, of course. Don't just go around taking any man because you are desperate. So I'm going to say something. Do we have children here? Do we have children? Ish. So, I'm not sure what you're going through, child of God. And I'm not sure how you're being tested or sifted. And you're sitting here and you say, but I serve him. But I love him so much. And so was Peter. You say, I can't. We are called that in every trial and tribulation that we go through, we come back and we strengthen you. We started praying about this cosmetic. We started praying in December. A sister calls me. She says to me, "Hi, Pastor, you probably don't know me, but I follow you on Facebook. Your sermons healed me. I've been going through phases and challenges, and whenever, every morning when I wake up, I run through Facebook and I read your sermons. And this morning, after reading your sermon, the Lord said, I must call you. You have a need. She says to me, I heard you preaching somewhere about your daughter turning 21. I said, yeah, she's turning 21 in November. She said, well, don't worry, because God said I must pay for her party. And I said, what? Don't clap, Azaloan, don't clap. I'm just giving you a testimony that we serve a miracle working God. And I said, sister, what? She says, yeah, I must pray for your daughter. I must pray for your daughter's 21st. I said, okay, but I don't think she needs a 21st. I'll ask her. Ask Bongi. Bongi, there's a sister. Bongi, oh, mommy, really? What? Said, yeah, wow. She said, but mommy, I don't need a 21st. I need my teeth. As I'm standing here, Basalwane, after talking to her to and fro, going up and down, calls and all that, she sent a first installment of 10,000. I've prayed for you. That when you are tested, you may not lose your faith. I've prayed for you. I've seen God doing wonders in my life. Pray for me not to lose my faith. Satan has asked to sift you all, but I've prayed for you. I want to stop here. I remember at church they were advertising that they were going to Jerusalem, and I saw the price, 35,000, Pastor Marcus. And I'm standing there, I'm sitting with my children, and I'm like, I so wish I could go to Israel, but I'm a single mom, you know, single mom's income and everything else. And you don't have the moja love, right? Or the side cheek, or the sugar daddies. And it's all your salary. And you have to share with everything, all the resources and all the food and everything. And I'm thinking, yo, I don't have moja love, Pastor Marcus. I'm saying, and I want to go to Israel. I'm saying, how am I going to do this? And I prayed, and I was with my two girls, and I said, pray for me that I also go to Israel. We prayed quickly. Sister called me from WhatsApp, from Facebook. Hi, Sister Miriam, are you sitting down? I'm like, yeah, what? Why am I sitting down? Why should I sit down? She said, just sit down. You know, I went to Israel with this entourage, with this group. And on my way back, and I read your post on Facebook, but God said, I must pay for you to go and experience him in Israel. She said to me, send me your passport. Take 7 days, I'll pay for you. She gave me more. She paid 35,000. Paid, gave me pocket money, 10,000. And I said, oh, thank you. I don't know her from a bar of soap. She said, no, don't thank me. I'm being obedient to my God. You have a need and you are here. And you say, I'm being sifted. I want you to come in front quickly. I've prayed for you. I'm strengthening my brother. Our assignment as disciples is that when we come back, after being tested, when we come back, we strengthen a brother. You say, I'm being sifted. I'm going through a lot. Nyakowisha, Pastor. Nyakowisha. Come, let's pray. Let our pastors come and strengthen you. For you say, when we repent and come back, we must strengthen a brother. I want to strengthen you and ensure you that we serve a miracle working God. We serve a God who created heavens and earth. We serve a God who sees you. He watches over you. He says he sticks closer than a brother and he watches over you so that no sun will harm you by day. No moon at night. For he watches over you. And you say, I'm going through a lot. Nyakowisha. Pastor, I'm going through a lot. He says, I've prayed for you that you don't lose your faith. We serve a God who sees. We serve a God who sees. We pray that you don't lose your faith. We pray that you don't lose your faith. We pray that you don't lose your faith. Let's pray for them. Extend your hand as you pray for them, not to lose your faith. Strengthen a brother. That was the assignment. Strengthen your brother. That was the assignment. Strengthen your brother. That was the assignment.